الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وذروا ظاهر الإثم وباطنه، إن الذين يكسبون الإثم سيجزون بما كانوا يقترفون. وأيضا قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم: ما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب، وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون. وقال تعالى: لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من اتبع نفسه وواها وتمنى على الله الأماني. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان، ہوں تو ہی تو ہو، تو ہی تو ہو، تو ہی تو، اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل، درد دل ہو، درد دل ہو، درد دل، غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر، تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدھر. رب صلی وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My respected brothers, there is a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes mention Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is the narrator of the hadith, and on one occasion he says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked this question: مَنْ يَأْخُذُ عَنِّي هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ, who will take from me these advices, so that فَيَعْمَلُ بِهِنَّ, if he takes the advices from me, he makes amal on it. أَوْ يُعَلِّمُ مَنْ يَعْلَمُ بِهِنَّ, or he teaches it to somebody who will make amal on it. What we understand from this, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the question: who will take these advices from me so that he makes amal on it? Or, the word is not wa, or, the option, there is an option. He teaches it to somebody who will make amal on it. We understand from this a very, very basic principle, that if a person knows something about deen and he doesn't make amal on it, if he makes amal on it, فَبِهَا alhamdulillah. If he doesn't make amal on it, he must still pass it on to somebody else. That's why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he takes it from me, he either makes amal on it, or he teaches it to somebody who makes amal on it. We understand from that, that even if we don't make amal on it, and we don't put it into practice, and we know something, pass it on to somebody else, and teach it to somebody else. This is the principle. Many people, the shaitan gets hold of them and they say, but I don't make amal on it, so why must I teach it to somebody else? How can I go and tell somebody to do something which I don't do myself? Or how can I stop somebody from doing something wrong which I'm doing it myself? The wrong that I'm doing myself, I can't stop somebody. No, that's a shaitan. Even if a person doesn't make amal on something and he tells somebody else to make amal on it, through the barakah of that, Allah Ta'ala will give him hidayat. That's why kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. That you are the best of people who have been taken out for the benefit of mankind. What do? You make amr bil ma'ruf. First it should have been, you should be believing, then you should make amr bil ma'ruf and nahy 'anil munkar. No. First you make amr bil ma'ruf and nahy 'anil munkar, you stop people from doing wrong. Automatically your iman will get strong. So in the same way, if a person doesn't make amal on something and he tells somebody else, or he does something wrong and he stops somebody else from the same wrong, through the barakat of that, Allah will increase his iman and he will stop. We need to understand this principle. So this question was posed to the people. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, ana, I will take these advisors from you, Ya Rasulullah. فَأَخَذَ بِيَدَيَّ Rasulullah said, took my hands. And فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا And he made mention of five advisors. Very, very important advisors for you and for me. Allah gives me also tawfiq to make on this, amal on this advice. فَعَدَّ خَمْسًا Five advisors he gave. What are they? What he told Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبُدَ النَّاسِ Ya Rab, stop doing wrong. Don't do haram. Abstain from the prohibitions of Allah. Whatever Allah prohibited you and Rasulullah prohibited you from doing, haram, stay away from haram. Stay away from everything that is haram. The result will be what? What will be the benefit? تَكُنْ أَعْبُدَ النَّاسِ You will be the greatest of worshippers of Allah. Nowhere did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, if you read lots of Quran, you will be abud al-nas. You read lots of nafal namazas, you will be the greatest of worshipper. You read lots of durood sharif, you will be the greatest of worshipper. But if you stay away from haram, you will be the greatest of worshipper without worshipping, without making ibadat. The greatest of ibadat, virtue, ibadat, worship of Allah is in staying away from haram. If a person does just the fara'idh, the things that Allah has made for us, a little bit ibadat here, a little bit, but he stays away from haram, abstains from haram, he'll be the greatest of worshippers. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma was asked, what was he asked? Rajulun qaleelul amal. Qaleelul dhamb, qaleelul amal. About two people. One person is a person who makes very little, he does very little a'mal. He just confines himself to the fara'id, whatever Allah has made for us. But he abstains from bad, from evil, from haram. And another person, Rajulun kathirul amal, kathirul zamb. He makes a lot of ibadat, nafal ibadat, tahajjud, ishraq, chashed, Quran, tilawat, wazaif. That book, Contentment of the Heart, he reads all that from the beginning till the end. But he goes outside, looks at haram. He goes to the shop, he does haram, he tells lies, he makes ghibah. So he was asked, which of the two persons are better? The one who makes little amal, he doesn't read all these things, just fara'id. And he abstains from haram. And that person who makes a lot of amal, but he doesn't abstain from haram. Which is a better person? What did Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu said? He said, there is nothing that can match abstinence from haram. Person who abstains from haram, there is no ibadat that can match it. The greatest form of ibadat. So my brothers, our akabirin, especially our Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and my present Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib Damat Barakatuh, they're stressing on this. Stay away from haram in everything of ours. Our eyes must not see haram. Our tongues must not speak haram. Our ears must not hear haram. Our hands must not do haram. Our feet must not go towards haram. Our minds must not think of haram. And we see also in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that how great a virtue is to abstain from haram. Three persons, they were going one day through the desert or through the forest. Night came. They took refuge. They said, where must we stay in the night? No place there, no hotel. There was a cave. They said, let's stay in the cave for the night. Cave. At night, a storm comes. A big stone rolls off the side of the mountain, and it lands right there where the entrance of the cave is. It closes the cave. Three persons are stuck inside. One of them said, let us make dua to Allah Ta'ala. What dua? That we make dua to Allah, if we make mention of some action, some virtue, some good deed of ours which we did for the sake of Allah, and through the wasila and through the medium of that, we ask Allah Ta'ala to remove this difficulty. So one of them said, Ya Allah, I had my old father and my mother. I used to always feed them first before I fed my children. So there's one day I went to go and look for wood in the forest, and I came back late. And I took out, when I came there, I saw my father and my mother sleeping. And I always used to feed them before I fed my children. Ya Allah, my children were crying and they were catching my legs and they were crying out of hunger. I stood with the milk in front of my father and my mother's bed. When their eyes opened up, I gave them first milk, then I fed my children. If I did it for you, take away this difficulty. When he said, the stone moved a little bit. The second person, yeah, this is the one. He wanted to do haram. He abstained from haram. And that abstinence and going away from that haram, that he made a means, he made it a means of removal of his difficulty. He said, oh Allah, I had a cousin, a girl, and I always wanted to fulfill my carnal desire with her the haram way. And then she came one day and she asked me for help, and I told her, I will give you help on condition you allow me to do what a man does to a woman. Haram way. Oh, she agreed because she was hard pressed. So when I sat between her legs and when I was about to do the wrong, she cried out, Oh, servant of Allah, if you don't have the right to break the seal, don't break the seal. Oh Allah, she said that, I got up from there, I went away. If I did that, going away, because of you, Ya Allah, remove the difficulty. Allah accepted the dua, the stone moved. Now, we see there, he was supposed to do something haram, and he went away. See what a great virtue it is, that Allah Ta'ala took away the difficulty. The third person said, Ya Allah, I kept some people to work for me and I gave them their wages, whatever it was. One person, I gave him the wages. He was very cross. He said, no, it was too little. He went away. I bought some animals, some livestock. And in a few years' time, the whole valley, the whole mountain was filled with cows and with whatever, with goats, with sheep. And he came again after some time. Give me my money. I told him, take all those animals, is yours. He said, don't joke with me. No, all those animals, is yours, take it. Allah, he took everything away. He didn't even leave one animal for me. Ya Allah, if I did it for you, Ya Allah, remove. And the stone moved, and they went free. So we understand from this, brothers. Also, hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person intends to do something good, he doesn't do it, Allah writes it down as one reward. If he doesn't do it, Allah writes it down as one. When he does it, Allah writes it down as the minimal 10 up to 700. And if a person intends to do something bad, haram, and he doesn't do it, one reward. And if he does it, one bad deed is written. Not 10 up to 700. So inshallah, my brothers, from this talk, Allah gives us all tawfiq to stay away from haram, inshallah. We will all try, inshallah, our best. Eyes also don't look at haram. Second thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention is what? That warda bima qasama Allahu lak takun aghnan nas. Whatever Allah has given you in terms of wealth, material wealth, be happy and be contented. What will happen? You will become the richest of persons. How many millionaires there are, billionaires there are. How many billionaires there are who are still paupers and they are poor? And how many a poor person there is and he's a multimillionaire? The stomach never gets filled. When it's 1 million, then a person wants to make it into 2 million. From 2 million to 3 million. And so on. There's no harm. Don't say, Maulana, you are discouraging us. You are talking negative things. No, we're not talking negative things. No harm in earning a livelihood. No harm in amassing wealth. No problem. There's no problem in it. What is the problem? The problem is this, that when we become so obsessed in becoming wealthy and rich and having a fat bank balance and properties, and it is at the expense of our fulfilling the rights of Allah, and fulfilling the rights of the wife and children, that's where the problem is. If there is no problem in that, and a person fulfills the rights of Allah, his family people, his children, the other people in a society, and a person is earning a wealth, no problem. As long as he does not compromise his duties towards Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And the other thing is, his wife and his children and the people whom he owe. People whom he owe dues, relatives, and so on. That's number one. And number two, as long as his love for wealth is not more than his love for Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ My Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali even told us what percentage. If a person has got 51% love for Allah and 49% love for the dunya, no problem. And everything is, everything that happens in the dunya when you earn also, it's out of love. If a person hasn't got love for his shop, how is he going to earn? If a person hasn't got love for wealth, how is he going to earn? The Sharia recognizes that. Doesn't say you must throw these things away. How are you going to give zakat? How are you going to go for hajj? How are we going to build masjids? How are we going to help the poor? How are we going to support our family? The love has got to be there. But the love must be below. Allah's love must be above. That also our Shaykh showed. 51% love for Allah, 49% love for the dunya. So, a person, if he is contented with what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him, that person is the richest of people. How many rich millionaires they are? They are still paupers. Why? It is not enough. They compromise their relationship with Allah. They compromise their relationship with their family. In the morning when they leave, the children are still sleeping. When they come in the night, the children are fast asleep. There is no rapport. There is no ta'alluq. And there is no connection and relationship with one family people. How will those children grow up without a father? Father is there, but he's not there. Who's going to make the tarbiyat of those children? Who's going to sit and do kitab reading with those children? How that wife and the husband, how are they going to be having love with one another? Because he goes away, his mind and his obsession is money and nothing but money. So this is what is being told to us here in this hadith, in this portion of the hadith. وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكَ Whatever Allah has given you, be contented. That person will be wealthy. How many poor people they are? They are wealthy. They got this thing for wealth. Thirst. Third, advice that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. What did he say? With that, وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى جَارِكَ تَكُنْ مُؤْمِنًا That be kind and considerate towards your neighbor. You will be a true mu'min. And that person is not a true mu'min who eats himself full and his neighbor goes hungry. That person is not a mu'min. He's not a believer. He eats full. But his neighbor this side, neighbor that side, it is said 40 houses this way are your neighbors. 40 houses this way is your neighbors. 40 houses in front are your neighbors at the back. We eat full and there are people around us that they are hungry. That person is not a mu'min. Takun mu'min and you'll be a true mu'min. So much so that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, then as Jibreel alayhi salam came again and again and reminded me about the rights of the neighbor so that I thought that the neighbor is going to inherit from me from my wealth. He's going to inherit from me. Comes in the hadith when neighbor wants to use your wall, he wants to put one nail in your wall, is your wall and he's next door, he wants to put a nail there, don't stop him from doing that. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching to us is what? Put a little bit extra water in your curry when you are cooking. Don't let curry be too thick. Let it be a little bit thin. That extra curry, send it to the neighbor. All these things will bring love between Muslims. Allah give us all tawfiq. Fourth advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. That, وَأَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ Love for the people what you love for yourself. We love for ourselves what? We love for ourselves the best food. We got domestics working in our homes. We eat the best. When the food is finished, Allahu Akbar. Unethical. When the food is finished, we tell them, cook your own. Or go there in the fridge. There's that old food, take it and eat it. This is not how a Muslim is. Whatever we eat, they see us cooking, they see us what we are preparing, what. And then we don't share a little bit with them, it's not right. That's not what our Islam teaches us. And the last advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gave is this, وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضِّحْكَ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Don't laugh too much. Don't laugh too much. Too much laughing deadens the heart. It makes a person ghafil of Allah Ta'ala. Comes also that when a person laughs too much, the luster and the noor from his face goes away. And one occasion, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw some people laughing and he said, "Ah, لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمُ." If you know what I know, لَضُحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا, you would laugh little and you would cry a lot. And one riwayat, the meaning of the riwayat is this. If you knew what I know, and you must know what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows, what he knew. Allah Ta'ala showed him the Jannat and Allah showed him all the ni'mats of Jannah. Allah showed him Jahannam and all the horrible and horrendous things in Jahannam. If you knew what I know, you would laugh less and you would cry more. And you would run out into the forest and you would beg Allah and you would cry before Allah and you would beg Allah to save you from Jahannam. That's what it means. So my brothers, and besides that, laughing too much also is a sign of what? It's a sign of ghaflat. Ghaflat. Ghaflat, unmindfulness, negligence of the presence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So these five advices, my brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to the ummah of Muhammad, to his ummah through Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. What is the first one? The first one is what? The first one, abstain from haram. Second one, be happy with whatever Allah has given you. Fulfill the rights of Allah, the family people, sattva the children. Read kitab reading, make that tarbiyat, show them love and bring them up nicely, Islamically. Third advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, your neighbors, be considerate towards them. Fourth, that what we love for ourselves, we love for others also. لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ. Person can be everything, he can be tahajjud guzar, but he can't have birr in him, piety in him, if he does not share what he loves. He gives away the things that he doesn't love, he gives it away. And the things that he loves, he keeps it for himself. And the last advice is, don't laugh too much, because laughing too much deadens the heart. Allah give us all tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.